Father of the heavenly lights, we pray that you will illuminate your word within our hearts and minds today, and so continue your transforming work within us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Did you notice what Alison and I did right at the beginning of the service in the first hymn? Does anybody under 18 want to say? Yes. We hugged. Did we do anything before that? We prayed. Well done. Does anybody else under 18 notice something different about me now to when we started the service? Does anybody over 18 want to call it? Well, Rosemary, no. Yes, Rosemary. No, you can say. I've changed my scarf. Have I changed anything else? And I've changed my shoes, yes. Well done. It can be really difficult sometimes to remember how things have changed, can't it? Really difficult. When I moved into my last vicarage, I took before and after photos of the garden, and every year, on the 1st of September, I tried to take another photo. But it's amazing the transformation from when I arrived at that vicarage to when I left the garden. It was absolutely incredible. But if I hadn't kept on taking those photos, it would have been hard to remember what happened and when, and to see the change. That's partly why, children, your mum or dad may take photos of you at the beginning of each school year. Because we actually think you look quite grown up when you first start in reception or year one, but then the difference. By the end, you'll be taller than your parents. It's very scary. So sometimes we can forget what's happened. Can you imagine what it would be like, though, to look in a mirror and forget what you look like? To catch a glimpse of yourself and think, who's that? I must admit that when I had Bonnie the Wonder Dog staying with me, I dyed my hair overnight just because I felt like a change. And I went down the next morning and she was... She was really barking at me because she was quite scared because she didn't know who it was. And actually, it took about 4 or 5 days. You know, I'd sort of be walking past something. Oh, right. Oh, it's me. It can be scary not to remember what we look like. I saw a film a few years ago where a man woke up with amnesia. He kept having flashbacks of two men whose faces were very familiar to him. But actually, every time he looked in the mirror, he wasn't quite sure that it was him. Very good good film, Shattered. You'd enjoy that one. James says that the person who reads the Bible or looks at the perfect law and doesn't do what it says is just like someone who looks in the mirror and then forgets what they look like. Do you know what you look like? When you smile, if you have dimples, do you have dimples when you smile? What do you think? If you have dimples, which side is the deepest? We don't actually tend to remember that about ourselves. It's always good to know what we look like, but it's good to look as well, to know what we look like on the inside as well. We're now going to look at some pictures on the screen, and I want you to tell me what they mean and what happens if you ignore them. So could we have the first one, please? What does that mean? And what would happen if we ignored it? You might get stuck in the paint. You might end up with paint on your clothes, mightn't you? Okay, what about the next one? Does that mean that you're not allowed to do arm movements when somebody's waving scarves around? No, what does it mean? You're not allowed to swim. What could happen if you ignored that? It's a possibility, yeah. Okay, what about the next one? Does that mean nobody whose name begins with P can come here? Does somebody else want to tell me? What do you think that P means? You can't park, no parking. Brilliant. What about the next one? No bendy arrows. What does that one mean? No U-turn. Well done. What about the next one? No Back to the Future. What does that mean? It's changed, hasn't it? Did you notice the first ones were round ones, which means no doing something. What do the do you know what the triangular ones mean, and do you know what that means? Careful about the trains. They're caution signs, aren't they, when they're triangles, rather than the round circles, which means don't do something. So what's the next one? No. What does that mean? Yes. Careful about the ducks. Does that mean that you can't feed them? Well, no, it's not that they might peck you. It's that often it's because they might nest on one side of the road and they have to cross the road to get to the pond. So it's caution, look out for ducks, really. Do you know, once I was near one of those signs and I heard all this cheeping and a baby duck had fallen through the grates. And the mummy had just gone on without it. But we did rescue it and reunite it with mum, so that was okay. Right, what's the next one? Warning, children. Oh, they're really scary, aren't they? Better to have lots of children and one might not turn out like all the rest. Does anybody want to tell? What do you think that means? Does anybody want to say? Anybody over there? Yes. Yeah, you've got to be cautious because there might be children in the road, haven't you? Yeah, could be a school now. Could be a playground, couldn't it? Right, what else is there? Caution, men putting up umbrellas. No, what does it mean? Roadworks, that's right. Well done. What's the next one? Does this mean flying cows? And does the other one mean you're not allowed to ride your motorbike over the top of a car? No, they're just caution signs, aren't they, that you can't have, that cows may be in the road and that there's no entry for motorbikes or cars. Right, what about the next one? Have you seen that one? Yes. It's a made up one, but that's quite a good one. It's from the story of the Billy Goat's Gruff, isn't it? That there might be trolls underneath the bridge coming out to get you. It's a made up one because we don't really have any trolls, do we? Right, what's the next one? This is a good place to take a photo. Have you heard the joke about all the... Sorry, this is very racist, though. I've just realised about all the Japanese tour buses are stopping in all these places to take photos because they think it's photo opportunities. What does it actually mean? Yes? Speed cameras. I'm really sorry if that is a bit racist. I hadn't thought about it, but I just thought it was funny. And I didn't think before I engaged my mouth. So I think that's it now. Is there another one? Is that it? Right, brilliant. So well done, you're obviously much better, far more proficient than I am at signs. Sometimes we can get away with ignoring signs because with the wet paint, quite often they're left there long after the paint has dried, aren't they? So you could keep going around testing to see if the paint's wet, but eventually if you ignore signs, you'll suffer the consequences, won't you? And they might be not quite so serious, but they could be really serious. What happens if we keep ignoring the Bible? Are there consequences if we ignore the Bible? There are, aren't there? Because we don't live life in all its fullness now, and we might not know about the salvation that's offered, the eternal life we can have in God's presence. So it's always a good idea to read your Bible. Not just because of that eternity with God, but also so that we can enjoy life in its fullness now and not be harming this world, other people, or ourselves, because there are a lot of practical instruction within this. And James has got some quite good practical instruction now in today's reading. They all begin with the letter C. So the first one is to curb our tempers. What does that mean? What would happen if we didn't curb our tempers? We'd get angry with people, and what could be the consequences if we lose our temper with people? It could be death, couldn't it? That's very extreme, but it could be death. It could be death. It could be spiritual death. It doesn't necessarily... So obviously you haven't lost your temper because you still have children around. Well done. You're missing one today. We'll look under the patio, Torben. What else happens if we don't curb our tempers? We can break relationships. Words that you've spoken to people, can they be taken back? They're never forgotten. They can break relationships. Suppose you never ever learnt to curb your temper as well. What would be the consequence of that? No friends. When I was really pleased to be chair of governors in Sidbury, and really pleased when one of the lads came up. I can't remember if it was at the beginning or the end. I think it was the end of assembly. And he said to the teacher I was talking to, "Can I be excused? Because Freddie's really winding me up and I know I'm going to lose my temper." 3 years before, that child had been excluded from four schools already because he hadn't been taught how to curb his temper and how to deal with situations where he could lose his temper. I really pray that in another 10 years I bump into him and he's managing now without having to say, "I need to be excused and step out of this situation." But he's learned. So it's really good to curb our tempers. The next one is in verse 21. What do you think that one might be? The words aren't actually in there. So what do you think that C is? It's clean up your minds, but good guess. Clean up your minds. Why is that important? What happens if we don't clean up our minds? Can I ask somebody else? You're really good. I'll come back to you if nobody else volunteers, because you're brilliant. You're exactly what I want all the time. What happens if we don't clean up our minds? They get polluted. They do, don't they? So there is a lot of research has been done to find out what happens to the minds of children who play violent video games consistently or from a very young age, and it's been shown that can affect them for life. What happens as well, if we don't clean up our minds, we can be affected then by a lot of things. I mean, we can find that as adults, can't we? If we were looking at pornography, if as women, well actually I suppose women could do that as well, but if you are reading romantic novels where you always have a hunky heroine who comes and rescues you at the end of the day, would your life be right? Or would your life expectancy be different and wrong? There are lots of ways that we need to clean up our minds. Right, the next C comes from verse 26. So it's see your tongues. What do you think that is? It's control our tongues. What can we do with our tongues that needs controlling? Yep. We can make good words, not bad words. That's really, really good. Yep. We can encourage people and build them up instead of putting them down, can't we? When else? Can you think of the Ten Commandments? God tells us to control our tongues. What does he say there? Not to blaspheme, not to take the Lord's name in vain. We shouldn't swear either, should we? So controlling our tongues. The next C is from verse 27. And it's something for others. care for others. What happens if we care for others? What happens if we care for others? They care for us. That can happen as well. But don't we feel good when we care for other people? Doesn't society actually work better when we care for other people? Yes, Madeline, you had your hand up. We bless God's heart when we care for other people. Thank you. It's really good to care for others, isn't it? And the final one comes from verse 21. That might be a bit difficult to work out. It's see our lives to Jesus. What do you think that one might be? Commit. Commit our lives to Jesus. So we're to curb our tempers, clean up our minds, control our tongues, care for others, and commit our lives to Jesus. That's all the advice that James gives us in that reading. I want to ask you, if I was going to offer you a cup of coffee, which mug would you like me to give it to you in? Would you like me to give it to you in that one? No? Would you like it in that one? Okay. Why don't you like that one? So you're not allowed coffee. Because it's messy. What's it like on the inside? So this one, you like this one. What's that like on the inside? Sorry, that was my breakfast, actually, because I'd purposely made two mugs at home and I put things on the outside of one and it's grown some nice mold, but the one on the inside really was some spectacular mold, and then I left them at home. So that was my breakfast today, a shaky. So sorry, that does look rather appalling. We like to give a good appearance to others, don't we? Don't we? Don't we want people to think well of us? So we can be a bit like this mug, looking really good on the outside, trying to make sure that we look really nice and shiny. But on the inside, how do you think we clean up the inside? How do we clean up the inside? Can we do it by ourselves? We need to do all those things, don't we? All these things can help, but the biggest one is committing our lives to Jesus. Because what did we read at the beginning of that? We read, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Don't you like the pictures there? God does not change like shifting shadows. He sends all good gifts. When we commit our lives to Jesus, he changes us inside and gives us the power to really and practically change the way we live. James challenges his readers to clear out the rubbish from their lives and live by God's living word, which is capable of transforming us. So there were two illustrations he used. I've mentioned one already. The first was, if you see your face in a mirror. Have you ever looked in a mirror and noticed you've got a dirty mark on your cheek or your nose? Have you just walked away and forgotten about it? What have you done? You've cleaned it. Do you know, I once went out for a meal with a boyfriend I was really trying to impress. And halfway through the meal, I nipped to the ladies because it was a very long meal. And I noticed I'd got spinach between my teeth. But another girl came in, and I didn't want to show her that I had spinach between my teeth, so I pretended I was brushing my hair. And she was there for ages, and by the time we'd been chatting, I went out and I forgot about the spinach between my teeth. I only remembered at the end of the meal. It's a really good idea to look in the mirror and see what needs cleaning or changing and do something about it. And just as we can look in a mirror for the outside of us, it's really good if we look at the inside as well and think, what needs changing within me? And then respond, ask God to help us to change it. The second illustration is that if we claim to be religious but cannot control our tongue, then our religion is worthless. Because our tongues indicate the state of our hearts. If I spent the whole time swearing and running everybody down, you look really shocked, I'm very glad about that. What would you think about the state of my heart? Dodgy. Yeah. Of course, it doesn't tell you if I'm really nice to you as well and don't swear. It doesn't necessarily indicate the state of my heart. James says that we must not simply listen to or read God's words, we need to put it into action as well. But there's more in this passage as well. In the West, we've got a comparatively stable way of life, haven't we? Do we need to worry where our next meal is coming from? No. Even if we fall through the net, it's very unlikely that we would starve in this country. Is that the same in other places of the world? It isn't. If they have a torrential downpour and a flood, they can lose all their crops, and that's it, for another year. And what are they going to plant the next year? An unexpected pregnancy could mean starvation for the whole family. Things are not so secure. Here, if I say to you, you are so predictable, is that actually a compliment or an insult? What? It is what? It's both. Right, okay. But we tend to say that somebody's predictable, it makes them sound a bit boring, doesn't it? But actually, in most places in the world, being predictable means that you're safe. You're secure. If your life is predictable, it's great because you know what's going to happen. Although that could be seen negatively as well. This passage from James praises the unchangingness, the immutability of God in a world where there was and still is, in many areas, too much instability. Do we like the fact that God's unchanging? Is it good? Why? Why do you like the fact that God's unchanging? You can't improve on perfection. Great. What else? Why else do we like it? It feels safer. Okay. So why do people say, if God is a good God, why does he allow this suffering? Are they trying to change God then? Do they expect sometimes that God needs to change? And why? Is it sometimes that we think, actually, if he has to change, I might look better? If he has to change, then I don't have to do anything. Because if I'm there saying to God, why have you allowed all that plastic in the ocean to kill off marine life? And I'm pointing a finger at him, how many are pointing back at me? Eight, well, yeah, yes, there could be eight. Whose fault is it that the oceans are full of plastic? Ours. Whose responsibility is it to clean it up? If God just made everything right each time that we messed up, is that good? So isn't it better instead that God doesn't change and he says every time we point a finger at him, okay, but I've made you in my image so you can do something about it. You've made that mess, you need to learn to clear it up, otherwise you'll keep doing it. We need a God who is unchanging, partly because otherwise we're never going to learn, but partly because we need that stability. And often we can change, can't we? Why do we sometimes, have you ever heard somebody say, oh, they acted out of character? You ever heard somebody say that about somebody else? Why do we act out of character? Isn't it usually because of our insecurity? Because we feel that people won't like the image of us that they see, and so we try to change or try to project a different side of our character. God doesn't have that. God is very, very secure. God knows that God is right. Why change perfection, as David said? We're the ones who need to change. It's a very wise person who knows themselves, who knows their flaws and failings, who knows their trigger points that can set off their temper or manipulative behavior. But it's even a wiser person who knows their need of God, who knows their need to step into the light of the Father of light, who has no shadow side, and who can help us to continue to be transformed into his image. If you can think of something in your life today that needs changing, let's just spend a few moments there, because it's really good sometimes to examine ourselves, to say, God, examine me, find out if there is any wrongdoing within me, and help me to see what needs to be changed. And if there is something that God has shown you in your life, don't just go home and be like the person who looks in the mirror and then forgets what they look like. Bring this to God at the end of the service. You might find it helpful to pray with somebody. There'll be those with lanyards on up in the chancel who will pray with you. And ask God to change that area of your life today.